Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, well, thanks for everyone coming. Welcome back, I guess, after a few weeks. And welcome to some new faces. So it's funny. We really have those three. We have three different derabbanans. We have the three different like rabbinic aspects that we've been dealing with until now. We had the returning the food to the flame, and we had not just returning the food to the flame. We had the idea of even leaving something on the flame. So the third of the derabbanans, the third of the rabbinic laws that. That the rabbis put in place to avoid a person to come to cook, to avoid a person to come to raise the flame or the like. The third of them is hatmana, which is insulating, which that comes up in many cases on Shabbos. Now, normally, I think a lot of people do all three derabbanans in a row. They do shehiyah, which is leaving food on the flame. Then they do hachzara, which is putting it back. And then they do hatmana, which is the insulation. Enough people have asked about mixing food on Shabbos and serving food from the cholent pot that I figured, okay, fine, we have to take a break, we have to insert this year, and then Emirat Hashem, next week we'll get back to insulation and hatmana. But before we do that, let's just do a brief review of last week. Overall, we know that there's a iser, we're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, right? We're not allowed to stoke any flames, raise up the flames, we're not allowed to cook something, better the food, not necessarily food. So that is on the Deoraisa, that's on the biblical level. Now, we learned last week about Hagzara, about returning something to the flame. So let's say I had food that was on a flame going into Shabbos, and it's fine, I left it, and it cooked all the way until Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon, and I have my cholent pot, everything's fully cooked, and I want to take it off, serve it, and put it back. So how do I do that? So we said the way to do that properly is, first of all, it has to be hot when you put it back, and you have to have had intention to put it back. Your hand still has to be on it. You have to be holding on to it, and whatever you're putting it back to has to be something that's garv v'katum. It has to be something that is covered, the heating element, the flame is covered. Why all these things? Because we talked about the rabbis knew the nature of a person is to raise a flame. If I take something off and I want to put it back on, so clearly I intend for it to remain hot. Clearly I intend to eat this later. I want it to be hot. Otherwise I would just leave it off the flame, right? So if I'm putting something back, the rabbis understood the nature of a person is to maybe raise the flame very easily. So therefore I had to do all these things to ensure that one, that the flame is covered, so I'm not going to actually come to raise the flame. And what's more, I have to do everything to show how this is not a new placement of food, but it's just a continuation of the old placement, and the old placement was done properly. The old placement of the food was put in a proper way, and I'm just doing a continuation of that. And therefore, it doesn't look like cooking, and nor will I actually come to stoke the coals or stoke the flames. So that was just the general overview of returning something. There's one aspect of returning something to the flame that we didn't cover, and that is going to be in source one. So before we get there, let's just go over our questions for this week's shir, and Mirtz Hashem, we'll start then with the next sources. So in question one, the question is, can I serve my cholent or soup while they are still sitting in the crock pot or on the hot plate? Right? I take out, or I leave it in the crock pot, or leave the soup on the flame. Am I allowed to serve it from there? So what do you think? Okay, no. Everyone says no. I cannot serve it from there. Let's make it a little bit more complicated. You're in camp, and there's a very, 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 very large, very heavy pot. That good luck moving that pot to get it off and on the flame. Am I allowed to serve the cholent from that? It's really heavy. Okay, so no cholent for anyone? Is that, that's it? No cholent for the campers, right? Okay, so that's going to be the question. Is there ever a case where one can serve it out from the cholent pot? And really, practically in our kitchens, the cholent pots are not that heavy. But if just for convenience purposes, could I do that? That's question one. Question two, is it permitted to stir the cholent in the pot once it's removed from the heating element? I take the cholent pot out of the insert and put it on my counter, holding on to it. Or let's say I don't intend to put it back, whatever it is. I see that it's not perfectly smooth. Some of the beans are on this side, the meat's on this side, and I want to stir it up before I serve it in bowls or put it into the serving container. can I stir it in the cholent pot once it's not on the heating element? Okay, you'd think yes. Yes, yes?
No, it's not cooking.
It's not cooking, right? Good.
So I'm thinking that it would be all right, which means it's probably not permitted, but we'll learn.
Okay, so good. So that's the real answer. Mirtz Hashem, we'll learn. But okay, so you would say yes. So we have two saying yes, that I could mix it. I can make sure it's all nicely mixed even before I serve it. It's in the cholent pot, but not on the heating element. And you say that's okay.
I mean, assuming that you either intend to put it back and do put it back, or you're not putting it back, in which case you're not putting it back.
Right. Well, if I'm not putting it back, then there may be more case to say that it's okay. And if I am putting it back, would you still say I can mix it now, even though I'm going to put it back in a few minutes once I'm done serving it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you still stand by it. Okay, good.
You're not willing to go so far. I don't eat cholent, and I don't know.
Okay, we'll convert you yet, but yeah.
Is it stirring to like aid in the cooking, or is it stirring just to make it, more even for the person who's going to eat?
Well, I guess that's the question. Why would I ever stir my cholent when it's off the heating element before I serve it? Presumably, I'm stirring because I want everything to be evenly distributed. Presumably.
Meat and vegetables and potatoes and so forth. So you'll get all vegetables. You get some.
Right. So I would assume, but maybe that gets down to the crux of what is stirring, right? What is stirring when it comes to the halacha on Shabbos? Okay. Those are our questions. Yes.
If it's not mixed, then could somebody, have a problem with digging, the person who likes meat would aim for the meat and the person.
Right. So if you hold that you can't mix it, what do you do about just serving it? Plain serving. And are you allowed to go for areas that you want, or can you just take off the top? That's a good question, right? If you're machmir, if you're stringent not to mix it, so how do you serve it? Right? That's already a question. I want the meat. I don't want the beans. I want this, right? Okay, and we're not getting into borer. We're not getting into separating. We'll do that in a few weeks. But yeah, okay. Now, you can't ask me on borer. You can ask me on hatmana. You can ask me on cooking. Anything that we'll cover within the next few weeks. Borer, Yiratz Hashem. Okay. So those are our questions. Yiratz Hashem, we'll talk about stirring very soon. Let's just get back to the topic, which was returning something to the flame. Okay? There's one thing that we left off last week that we forgot to cover. And that is in source one. And the Ramah tells us in source one, Yesh omrim dekol shehu samach lechashecha, that there are those who say that when it's close to Shabbos, o samach lebarchu shehu kabal Shabbos ledidan, whatever time it's close to Shabbos, im hu samach kokach sheim nitzdanein hakadeira, I esher laharsicha mi ba'od yom, dino kamo b'Shabbos v'atzmo. That if a person has food, that were it to be cold, it doesn't matter how it is right now, but were it to be cold, you would be unable to heat it up enough before Shabbos hit. So then you're not allowed to put it back on without following the rules of returning food. Meaning that you thought the idea of returning food only applies on Shabbos, that the rules are that it has to be covered, the flame has to be covered, and you have to have in mind to return it and the like. You thought all those rules only applied on Shabbos. But comes along the Ramah to tell us that, by the way, there's a halacha on the books that extends the rule of returning something to the flame, that extends it even before Shabbos. Meaning that if I have food that's fully cooked and I want to put it on the flame before Shabbos to heat it up, but it really is not going to become hot enough before Shabbos hits, so I'm not allowed to put it there unless the flame is covered, unless following the rules of returning. It's not Shabbos. Before Shabbos, the Ramah comes out with his halacha. So whoever thought to extend the rules of returning something that applies on Shabbos to before Shabbos, right? Where did that come from? And there are those who are lenient, he says, but it's he says ach tov lahachmer b'makom shein tzarich kol kach. But if there's no real need, meaning if it's easy enough to do and the like, so a person should be stringent to make sure to put food on long enough that it would have time to become hot before Shabbos. So why? Yes?
That's only if you have an adjustable knob and...
Right, following all these rules. We're presumably talking about not putting on a blech. The Ramah is talking about putting it straight directly on the flame, right? So the reasoning behind it, Tosfos says, is that Shemi Yichata, that perhaps a person will come to stoke the coals. If you put this up before Shabbos, even though it's fully cooked, but it's maybe not fully warmed, and come Shabbos, it's not fully warmed enough, you might actually stoke the coals. So you have to follow all the rules to avoid that type of concern. The other reason is given by the Rush, and he says the reason is because you'll come to do this on Shabbos. If you're so used to putting cold things on right before Shabbos, and they're not going to have time to get warm, and you're putting it on without any of the rules, then you're going to come to do that hours later on Shabbos itself. So it happens to be, we do follow this, that if you're putting something directly on a flame before on Shabbos, let's say you have a chicken soup that you're putting, it's fully cooked. It was cooked in the morning, fully cooked. And you want to put it on the flame right before Shabbos, blast the heat, get it really hot, and you leave the flame on going into Shabbos. So you have to make sure to put it on with enough time that it'll actually be able to become hot before Shabbos. That being said, that's only if you're putting it on a open flame. If you're putting it on a blech or in the crock pot or any of these covered flames, so that's already following the rules, and there's no concern that you'll come to stoke the coals because you've covered the coals or you've taken off the knobs in our modern day example. So anyway, that's just a halach on the books that we should be aware of as far as returning. Okay, that's A. B, another halacha that I just wanted to bring to light this week is we've talked a lot about how to heat food up on Shabbos. So if it's been already on the heat source going into Shabbos and currently on Shabbos, so it's fine. You just follow the rules of returning. You take it out, put it back in, following all the aforementioned rules. But what if something was just in the fridge, like I had schnitzel and I want to heat it up on Shabbos? So the other way we said was that if it's cold and it's solid and it hasn't been on a flame on Shabbos, so how do I heat that up? So there, I can put it in a way that doesn't look like cooking. So if I have an adjustable blech, I can put an upside down tin, like a 9x13 on it, and put food, cold, solid food directly on it, because that doesn't look like cooking, right? And I'm also, there's no such thing as cooking after cooking because it's solid food, as we've discussed. The other option, according to Rav Einemar, was, and Rabbi Rosenbaum holds this way, that if it's non-adjustable, so then that doesn't look like cooking to anyone, you could put that straight on. Those were all the things that we've mentioned before. The third option is you can put it close to, meaning you can put food, solid food, that is cold, close to a heat source, but not on the heat source. So imagine I have a flame left open on my stove. I could put cold chicken next to it, right? It's not on it. No one cooks next to a flame. That's weird. So that's another odd way. That's lav derech. That's not the way to cook. And that would be another permissible way to put cold, solid, fully cooked food to heat it up on Shabbos. Practically, I'm trying to think of most of the time, that's not something we're doing. I suppose what that means is if a person didn't want to do an upside down tin on their adjustable blech, they could put something right next to the blech and that heat probably would help warm something up. Yes?
Cheese that you don't want to serve super cold. Oops, I forgot. You want it to be room temperature fast.
Right, and if the cheese has been cooked before, like a lasagna or something like that. Because we've talked about a cheese that hasn't been, you haven't cooked the cheese. It's just a cheese that you took out of the, not container.
Yeah.
Usually cheese come out of a
packet.
Thank you. So that's not something that, it's not so clear that that's been cooked to the point that it's okay to now actually cook it on Shabbos. But presumably if you had a cheese dish that you had already cooked and the like a lasagna or a baked ziti, and you wanted to warm it up next to a heat source, that would be perfectly acceptable. Right. It's just not the way. Right. It gets down to the fact that it does not look like cooking. Okay. All right. So good. Those were the different topics that have related to what we've done. So now let's go on to answer our questions, which really is stirring and serving food on Shabbos. Right. This is the main topic for this week. Now, as I said, we started for the first few weeks talking about cooking midoraisa, cooking on the biblical level. Then, after that, we diverted to a few weeks of the rabbinic additions, the derabbanans that the rabbis added, so that a person avoids coming to cook. So where does this fall? Mixing. mixing food or serving food from a cholent pot or from a pot. Where does that fall? Is that rabbinic or is that d'oraisa? Is that on the Torah level? So let's look at this. In source 2, there really are two places that this, what we call hagasa. Hagasa is stirring or mixing. This term hagasa, to be magus, to stir or mix, comes up in two places. One is the Gemara in Beitza in source 2 that says as follows. Tanya, echad mevias ha'or. One person, let's say you have multiple people standing here, and on Shabbos, one person brings the fire. The echad mevias ha'etzim. And another person says, okay, I'm bringing the wood, and he brings the wood. The echad shofes es ha'gedera, and one person brings the actual pot. The echad mevias ha'mayim, and one person brings the water. A potluck. The echad nosim b'socha taplin, another person puts the spices in. The echad megis, and another person mixes it all together. Kulan chayavim, all of them are held liable. All of them did something wrong on Shabbos. Everyone had a hand in this potluck dinner in doing something. Now, what's the notable action here that really we want to talk about? Megis, the person who stirs. What did the person who stirs do? I understand the person who lit, and the person who brought this brought the food, and the person who brought this, the eitzim, the wood. All of that, without that, you couldn't accomplish cooking. Stirring? What does that help to accomplish anything? Seemingly, even without that, I would have accomplished this. I would have accomplished cooking. So why is this person, the magus, the person who stirs, why is he held accountable? Right? What does it have to do with cooking? What do you say?
Because whatever's on the top is getting less heat. You rotate it around, and so then that's getting...
Mahafich, right. Meaning what you're doing is you're flipping everything in and out, in and out. What we would call this is... So first of all, you're right. It's fundamentally, it's helping with the process of cooking. Seemingly, a person couldn't cook without mixing. And even if you could, we would certainly call it kiruv bishul, meaning it's enabling the furthering of the cooking process. Right, so at the very least, it's enabling, and at worst, it might be part and parcel of the cooking process. The cooking process can't happen without it, right? So that would make echad amegis, the person who stirs, that would certainly be a problem. So we already see stirring food on Shabbos stirring food is going to be a problem. Okay.
Rabbi, they connected to cooking, which was sort of, I think, a number of our questions at the beginning, and maybe yours as well. What is stirring? What is the intent? What is the purpose of it?
Right,
it's to aid cooking, and it's definitely can aid cooking. We all know that.
But even if a person's intention was not to aid cooking, while it's on the fire and it's not fully cooked food, okay. If there's food in there and a person mixes it around, it doesn't matter what your intention was. Ultimately, you are causing an enabling of cooking, right?
Yes.
Now what your question would really would come to light is, let's say it's fully cooked. If the food is fully cooked, now what does it have to do with further cooking?
Right, that's the question I know is right. In my mind.
Right, so that in Yeretz Hashem we're going to get to. Right now we're just talking about assuming that everything is not fully cooked, so then we can understand that mixing it is going to be a problem because it's enabling the cooking, it's causing further cooking. Helping things on the top get cooked and things on the bottom get cooked and mix it all around. We're assuming these things are not cooked yet. All right, so that's source one. Now, in source three, the Gemara in Shabbos talks about mixing as well in a little bit of a different context. The context over here is that Beis Hillel is talking, and Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are talking about the things that you're allowed to set up going into Shabbos. So the Gemara of the Mishnah says in source three, Beis Shammai says, Lo esatemer liyora el kadeshi yiklo ha'ayin. He says you're not allowed to put wool into the dye unless it has time to dye before Shabbos, that the dye should be able to set and go into the wool before Shabbos. Beis Shammai says otherwise you're having something happen on Shabbos that you shouldn't have set up that way. Beis Hillel says it's okay to set something up as long as you don't do anything on Shabbos, right? I can set food up, again, we've talked about in the proper ways to avoid coming to stoking the coals, but I'm allowed to set something up before Shabbos if it happens automatically on its own going into Shabbos. But then the Gemara says like this, Tanu Rabbanan, Lo tamale isha kedera asasios uturmasin v'saniach v'socha tanor erev Shabbos im chashecha. Gizeira shem yechad b'kecholam. Now, yet Beis Hillel agrees that a woman or someone, meaning the Gemara is talking about someone cooking, is not allowed to take food and raw food and just put it on the flame going into Shabbos. Wait, I thought you were allowed to set things up going into Shabbos if you're not doing anything. The concern is, if I do that, it won't be fully cooked, and I'll be a little bit bahu, I'll be bothered by it, and I'm going to stoke the coals. So even Beis Hillel says, I can't set up something that then I'm going to be worried about, and I'm going to stoke the coals. That's certainly a problem. So, Semer Lior Elixor. So I don't understand. Putting wool into the dye before Shabbos, I should also say that's a worry. Why? Because Beis Hillel should say, the same concern I have by the food, that person is going to say, oh, it's not fully cooked, oh man, and they'll turn up the heat. So too when it comes to the dye. They're going to see the dye isn't fully setting, it's not setting well enough, and they're going to heat up the flame underneath the dye, underneath the pot, and that'll come to help, that'll come to further flame or further dyeing. So says Shmuel, b'yorei akura. The reason Beis Hillel was okay with this was it's something that was already removed from the flame. What he was talking about is you can let dye set going into Shabbos, provided it's not on the flame. V'necha shema megisba, but shouldn't I be concerned that you'll stir it? That even if it's on off the flame, and you have dye sitting in this hot yadza lettuce, boiling water, shouldn't I be worried that you'll stir it and to let the dye set better, to let everything mix around? So the Gemara says, no, it's covered, it's in a way you can't access it. But just by the Gemara's very question, it implies two things. One, that mixing something is a problem, yet again, of cooking. We clearly see mixing something is a problem of cooking. And what's more is the Gemara seemingly implies, even if it's off the flame, were I to mix this and enable that process further, even though it's not on the flame, that would still be a problem, right? Because the Gemara said, Beis Hillel's case is where it's already off the flame, so I'm not worried you're going to stoke the coals. Then it says, but even if it's off the flame, maybe you'll come to mix it. Well, we can avoid it because the case was it's covered, you won't come to mix it. But clearly, there is a concern of mixing in general. And two, mixing even with something off the flame, right? That's how the logic would follow. So now, it happens to be Rashi reads this Gemara and he says everything we just said. That there's a problem of mixing because you're cooking the dye with the water and everything's cooking together. Yes, I understand, you're dying. But part of the dying process is you're cooking it together. So Rashi understands it as we've said until now. Tosfos says, when the Gemara says it's a problem of mixing, it said because it's a problem of mixing and that improves the dye. That has nothing to do with cooking. When food is off the flame, says Tosfos, mixing it has nothing to do with cooking anymore, right? It's only on the flame. What the Gemara was concerned about was dyeing. And dyeing happens better even off the flame when you mix it. That's how Tosfos says it. So we shouldn't get stuck on this Gemara that seemingly implies even mixing off the flame is going to be a problem, right? You could easily say, well, it's only on the flame when it's a problem. And again, why on the flame? Because that's where you're getting things on the top to the bottom, bottom to the top, to be accessible to the heat source below, right? And that's actually enabling and furthering the cooking. So from these two Gemaras, though, what we do end up seeing is that there is a concept of cooking something, and perhaps by mixing it, and perhaps even when it's off the flame, right? Because we've learned that something in a Kli Rishon, in the initial thing it was cooked in, even when taken off the flame, has the ability to cook, right? It was on the flame's original source, and even when taken off, so long as it's hot, Yad Soledes Bo, hot to the touch, boiling, whatever it is, so it can cook. So that's where we stand right now. So seemingly mixing something off the flame that's still hot could be a problem. And certainly we see mixing on the flame is an issue. Okay? So that's where we stand right now. And if we left now, so I'd leave you with a question of, all right, well, how do I ever serve my food on Shabbos now? Forget mixing. Every time I dip in my ladle, what happens? I kind of mix it. So every time something goes in, well, it moves things around. And good luck serving your food on Shabbos, everyone, right? Okay, so if we ended there, basically we have nothing to eat on Shabbos. So what do we do here? Okay. So the Rashba asks this question. In source 4, he says, Mashma dafilo bakura ikimishum megis. It sounds like even something that's taken off the flame, we're still worried about mixing. That mixing could be a problem, right? Because the Gemara's implication above was even if it's off the flame, we should still be concerned of mixing. So it says to Rashba, the Kashili, I have a big problem. Im kein, he'ilfis vakadira she'avira miroschen, he'ach motziya mehem kaf v'halo megis. How will you ever serve food? Every time you serve food, you'll be mixing it. right? It takes the Rashba, you know, what is it, 1200s? No, later, to think of the question. But meaning all of us would wonder this question, how in the world are you going to serve food on Shabbos? That's what the Rashba was bothered by. So the Rashba says two answers. The one that matters to us is the last line over here, second to last line. Ve'od yesh li omar, dekol debashel k'maycho ben drusai leikim ishu megis. Says the Rashba, listen, cooking, you have to be cooking something. So if something's already cooked, you can't further cook it. What's the status? Well, how much does something need to be cooked to be considered cooked? So the Rashba holds, maycho ben drusai, one third or a half cooked. Once it's cooked that much, it doesn't matter how much you mix it. There's no such thing as cooking after cooking. Now, we only accept the Rashba halfway, meaning because we hold that something has to be fully cooked in order to say there's no such thing as cooking after cooking. But we do accept the Rashba here, essentially saying, once something is fully cooked, I don't have to worry about mixing it, right? That we do. The Rashba makes a lot of sense. Once something fully cooked, if you tell me, what's the issue of mixing? You told me before, the issue of mixing is it helps it cook. It helps it cook. If there's no cooking after cooking, so then there shouldn't be a problem. If you told me the issue was a rabbinic law, a dirabanan, because maybe you'll do this or X, Y, and Z, so fine. But if you're telling me the issue of mixing is because it's an aspect of cooking, well, if something's fully cooked, then there's no cooking after cooking, so then mixing it shouldn't be a problem anymore. Okay, now it's up to us to figure out what do I hold as fully cooked. We hold fully cooked means fully cooked, not just one third or a half. But the logic of the Rashba stands, right? So according to the Rashba, we should be able to mix any food, even on the flame, no problem. Certainly off the flame, and serving it, no problem. Even serving it from on the flame shouldn't be a problem according to the Rashba once it's fully cooked, okay? So again, if we stopped here, we'd be totally set, we'd be fine, and we would be good to go. The problem is, and this is where, you know, I wish Richard was here, because this is what he really kept asking, because he knows of this halacha and he was bothered by it. In source 5, we have a fascinating opinion, and it's an opinion that's taken lehalacha, that we accept it practically for what we do, and that is in source 5, the Kolbo, who says, Kaimalan, we hold, demegis chayev mishumavashal, that someone who mixes is cooking, afilu b'kedera mevushelis, even if the food is already fully cooked, kolzman shialesh, if it's on the fire. Says the Kolbo something fascinating that totally goes against what we just learned in the Rashba. If something is on the fire, even if it's fully cooked, you are liable for cooking when you mix it on the fire. All right, explain to me that one. The Rashba just said, if something's fully cooked, then you can't cook after cooking, and mixing it shouldn't be a problem. Comes along, the Kolbo says, nope, even if it's fully cooked, you can't mix it. Okay, good. The Magen Avraham, the Beis Yosef, everyone cites this Kolbo. It's a Kolbo that we'll see at the end that Ramah even accepts. So what do we do? First of all, what's the logic behind that? How does that make sense? By the way, it's not just me asking. The Shaar Tzion asks. The Mishnah Berurah, Chafetz Chaim asks. I don't understand. If there's no such thing as cooking after cooking, so how is there such thing as mixing after cooking? If mixing is just part and parcel of cooking, if this is fully cooked, what's the issue of mixing it? So what's the reasoning behind the Kolbo, right?
I mean, maybe it goes back to that it looks like cooking, that typically you would mix something while it's still on the flame, taking it off, and then mixing it and putting it back in here.
I like that. That's very good. I think, is it Tosfos, or who suggests such a thing? The Tiferet Shmuel. Rav Moshe cites the Tiferet Shmuel, who says, just like you, that it looks like cooking in the sense that, well, next week I might actually come to mix something that's not fully cooked, right? This week I knew it was fully cooked and I mixed it, no problem. You know what's going to happen next week? I'm going to do it a few hours before and it won't be fully cooked, and that's a problem. Okay, so it's true. It's just hard because the Kolbo just says that mixing it when it's fully cooked, you can be chayiv, meaning on the deoraisa biblical level. So then what we just said really sounds more like a derabanan, right? You shouldn't do it because you'll come, it's an answer. What Jonathan, what you're saying is totally true, and it's given by others. It's just, it's not so glut, right? It's a little difficult. So how do we explain this, right? So that would be one route. What's the kolbo saying? How does it make sense that there could be cooking after cooking when you mix it? So there are two ways to say this. One, a little bit we've seen before. I think the Chazon Ish says, and Rav Rimon, in his Rav Rimon is, I think, in the Gush. He has a show on the Gush. He has a beautiful book on Shabbos. I think it's both in English and Hebrew. Certainly Hebrew. They might have come out with an English version now. It's beautiful. And when I say beautiful, not just in depth of what he presents, but pictures, everything. I mean, oh, if you want charts, by the way, that has charts. So we have to see if he has an English version, because the Hebrew is beautiful. It's unbelievable. So the Chazon Ish suggests, and Rav Rimon runs with this, that when you mix something, so the idea, even though it's fully cooked, you're helping soften certain things. You help soften maybe the potatoes or the beans by pressing against them. And we've learned that helping or improving food in a different way can be an aspect of cooking, right? We talked about taking bread and toasting it, right? Making toast on Shabbos. Why is that cooking? There's no such thing as cooking after cooking. Well, because you toasted it. You brought a new aspect to the floor that wasn't there before. So too here, the Chazon Ish suggests that when you mix it around, maybe what the kolbo is concerned about is there's an aspect of new cooking going on by helping the softening of the food. I can't claim I fully understand what he's saying. I don't fully understand, but that is that is one approach of the Chazon Ish. Very similar to things that we've seen before. You're adding a new aspect to the food, and for that, the kolbo was worried, so you shouldn't mix food even though it's fully cooked. That's one route to understand why the kolbo thinks is a problem. And if you're wondering why we're spending time on this kolbo, it's because we paskin like this kolbo, we follow this kolbo, so we want to understand it to understand what we can do. The other explanation is brought down by Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe, I didn't include him on the sheet, but Rav Moshe suggests that often in food, and it's true in cholent, there are small pieces, maybe beans or the like, that sometimes aren't fully cooked, right? They're fully cooked, but there's parts that might still be a little crunchy or the like. Somehow there were pockets that weren't cooked as well. And by mixing it around, you are enabling those small pieces to cook better, but that only helps when it's actually on the fire, right? And similar to your reasoning before, that if it's mixed, the top goes to the bottom goes to the top, everything's mixed around. So those small little pieces, what Rav Moshe calls the kratim, the small little pieces that weren't fully cooked, when it's on the flame and you mix it, even though the whole cholent itself is fully cooked, that's what the kolbo was concerned about, for those small little pieces to do it on the flame, right? So maybe that's more of a reasoning. I think that Rav Moshe says, by the way, it's a very confusing kolbo, says Rav Moshe, but I have to give a reason, and here's maybe your reasoning to the kolbo. So those are just a few reasons, in summary, just to explain what the kolbo means. We said, if there's no such thing as cooking after cooking, why should there be an issue of mixing something after it's fully cooked? That's essentially the approach of the Rashba. And yet the kolbo says mixing that something that's fully cooked on the flame is a problem. So the three answers could be, one, well, it really looks like it, like you're mixing, and who knows if it's fully cooked. You know, next week you might do that with something that's not fully cooked, and that's certainly a problem. That's one approach. Rav Moshe said maybe there are pieces that aren't fully cooked, and when you mix it around on the fire itself, that helps cook them. Off the fire, it wouldn't accomplish the same thing. And the third approach was the Chazon Ish. You're adding a new aspect, a new element to this dish that wasn't there before, the softening of different foods or different pieces, and maybe that's what mixing would accomplish. Okay, so that's essentially how to reason or how to understand the kolbo of not mixing food, even though it's fully cooked, on the flame. So where does that leave us? Where that leaves us is the Shulchan Aruch in Source 7. So he cites the Ramah at the end over here. In Source 7 we have, Ulechatchila yesh lizar af pekedera b'chol inyan. Says the Ramah that lechatchila, meaning ideally, we shouldn't mix or spoon food from this pot in any circumstances. So the Ramah is going with the kolbo, and what he's saying is you shouldn't mix something on the fire, but maybe you shouldn't even serve food from the pot that's been removed from the flame. So according to the Ramah, what are you supposed to do? He's citing the Maharil. According to the Ramah, what you would have to do is you'd have to pour it out into another dish, and from there you could serve it or mix it. Now, before you write that down, that's not what I'm suggesting everyone do. That's very cumbersome, odd, and I don't think I've ever seen anyone do that. I'm sure there are people who hold such a thing. But essentially what the Ruma is saying, we hold like the kolbo, which you shouldn't mix it when it's on the flame. And he's also, what the Rambam says, well, if you can't mix something, that means you also can't ladle it, because any time that you're not allowed to mix it, so ladling it is a problem. So essentially we take those two chumras, those two stringencies, put them together, and what that means is if I'm not allowed to mix it, I'm not allowed to ladle it. Okay, so therefore the Ruma basically would suggest pour it out into a serving dish and then mix it and serve it from there. The Mishnah Berurah says we don't have to be so stringent like that. The Mishnah Berurah says we should not mix it when it's on the flame. That we follow the kobol, we shouldn't do. But once it's off the flame, you can serve it. Once it's off the flame, you can ladle out and serve food from there. Again, provided it's fully cooked, obviously. So that's how the Mishnah Berurah basically comes out, that it would be appropriate to take it off the flame and serve it. Serve it from there. That would be okay. Yes.
Your camp example earlier, where you've got a giant crock pot and everybody's doing.
So what do you do? So the Chazon Ish says, in this specific case, and this is what some camps do, you know, sometimes you'll have two guys lifting it off and they can do that, but in some cases they can't. So the Chazon Ish says, listen, the kolbo himself is already a stringency. And to say, oh, the Rambam source 6 that we didn't read inside, but to say that, and every time you dip in is the mixing, that's also a stringency. So once it's fully cooked and you really can't move it off the flame, it's too large, so it would be okay to just ladle out food from there. Not to mix it there, but to ladle out food. That would be how you could do it. But practically in a home, most of the time you can take it off. I think there are old versions of crock pots that you can't take out of the heating element, someone told me. So for those, you'd presumably you'd have to follow this. It's fully cooked. You can ladle it out, but you can't mix it. But for most of us who have food either on the heating element, on the crock pot, or on the blacks, so you should take it off the heating source and ladle it out from there. Right? That would be the appropriate approach. Now, what's the last question, which we didn't really address?
Then how are you allowed to return it?
What do you mean?
It comes out of the crock pot.
And I hold my hand, I have an intention, and it's still hot, right? Okay. But you're saying you're mixing it around and then putting it back.
Yeah.
Because, again, all these things, this kolbo is hard to understand. And once it's fully cooked, really, there's no cooking after cooking. And the only issue that Rav Moshe said of the kratim, of the small thing coming to be cooked, is when it's on the flame. If I'm doing it not on the flame, we're not worried so much so to say that this should be a problem. I think that's a general approach. Now, what's the one question which we still need to address? Am I allowed to mix it when it's off the flame? I'm allowed to ladle it when it's off the flame, but am I allowed to mix it when it's off the flame? It's a machlokas. I think many people are lenient. I myself will mix it when it's off the flame. And I think I saw in Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa that it's okay to mix it once it's off the flame. Again, provided it is fully cooked. So we're talking Shabbos day. We're not talking like Friday night. That itself has other issues, as we've talked about.
So,
okay.
Rabbi, to be perfectly clear, then the answer to question number 2 would be yes.
Oh, so let's go over the questions. Number 1, can I serve my chont or soup while they are still sitting in the crock pot or on the hot plate? And the answer is no. Well, ideally not. And so, again, all these presume it's fully cooked Shabbos day. Unless there was an impossibility, like in the camps or these crockpots, the old version crockpots. But the simple answer for us, no, one should not serve food from the heating element. Serve the soup or the chont.
And the reason is
because of the kolbo, who essentially says, even though something's fully cooked, mixing it on the flame is an issue. Why? The reason is maybe there are things that aren't fully cooked, and by mixing it around, it helps them cook better. Or maybe it softens it on the flame, and that adds a new element of cooking to it.
So in this question, by serving, that's indicating mixing on a flame.
Every time, right.
In the cooking.
Yes.
So we're basically, you can't cook.
Right. Well, certainly one can't cook. The question is, was this really cooking? And we'll be machmir, we'll be stringent to say, don't do this because there's some aspect of possible cooking involved. Yes. Good. Okay, and question two, the answer is it permitted to stir the cholent in the pot once it's removed from the heating element? And again, it's fully cooked, we're presuming, in Shabbos day. And the answer, like you just said, yes. Yes. Number two, the answer would be yes. It is acceptable provided it's fully cooked, and then a person could still put it back after they're done serving and the like, following all the rules of returning food. Okay, so I think that rounds out the topics here. The one thing I just want to add at the end, a thought I saw in a few places that this idea of mixing again goes to a deeper level. That really it's the end process of taking many things that are disparate things and bringing them together to finalize the process, right? If I have something that's not, I mean, something is fully cooked, but things haven't been mixed around, so the process of cooking hasn't been finalized, right? So I saw in a few places that the whole idea of Shabbos is on the spiritual level, what does mixing entail? But there's so many different parts of our spiritual lives that don't always integrate. There are parts of spirituality or parts of our lives that we're not always integrating into our life. And come Shabbos, so on a physical level, we're not supposed to be mixing and cooking, because on a spiritual level, that needs to be taking place. On a spiritual level, there needs to be a mixing, an iruv, a hagasa of our spiritual life with our physical life. There needs to be a completion of that mixing and that cooking to really, really create ourselves. The Sefer, Rav Kluger, really talks about mixing of Jews, that every Jew has a different flavor. Every Jew is a different type of person. And come Shabbos, that everyone's all separate during the week. We feel that way. Everyone's doing whatever they're doing. But come Shabbos, is supposed to be a mixing of Jews together. We're supposed to actually feel like we're coming together as one. And that creates a process of all the different flavors of different types of people coming together in shul and gathering together. And to really feel that way, like we're all one. That's why the language is Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. Every Jew is a guarantor for another, meaning we're all connected. The language of Arevim, of Eruv, of Iruv, is an idea of also mixing. Every Jew, we're all mixed together. We're all connected, similar to what we're talking about here, mixing. Right. So on a spiritual, on a physical level, that's not what we're supposed to be doing on Shabbos. But on a spiritual level, that Emir Tzashem is being accomplished. Okay, so Emir Tzashem will end here. Next week, we'll come back together and we'll learn Hatmana, insulation, the last of the rabbinic, of the Derabanan aspects of this, of Bishul. And if anyone has any other questions, we can ask.